Okay. Hey, baseball fans, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show. Motor's going to give you more information about this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check back at the Sports Card Investor app. Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, Locked On Diamondbacks crossover. It must be Monday. It is indeed the 11th day of July, 2022, and we're going to be talking about the All-Star Game and selections and thoughts and politics and things we can change. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. I am the Emmy-nominated television producer and writer and sometimes comedian and used to be actor, now a teacher, and now been appeared in several publications, including the Sporting News and on HBO Sports. That's me. I'm Paul Francis Sullivan. Call me Sully. That's Miller Thomas. He does some stuff.
Yeah, I guess I was supposed to name my stuff. I'm a graphic designer, podcaster. Check me out on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account. Or just look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle. I wasn't ready for the flex just now, Sully. I wasn't ready.
What are you going to do? I was told, why listen to Sully? Besides the fact that I'm me, you follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. If you have nasty things to say to me, please send them to Sully Baseball on Twitter because sometimes that makes my month. Hey, Millard, happy Monday to you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Recording on a Sunday. You guys
are I fervently believe the World Series is going to be Baltimore versus Philadelphia because that's the way things are working out right now. Yeah. And hey, it is almost at this point next week, we are going to be having the All-Star break, which is the unofficial halfway mark of the season. We've actually played more than half of the games, but kind of psychologically, it's the halfway mark of the year. And basically, I think that if you're still in contention after the All-Star game and you're the general manager of the team, pat yourself on the back. You've given your fans a summer. You know, if you're going into August and you're still in it, yeah, if you're a GM, you could say, hey, we did our job. We gave you an entertaining summer.
As a D-backs fan, if we're within like 4.5, 5 games of the wild card race, it's going to be a great summer for us. We're not expecting much more than that.
Of course, last year was a great test for that because the Padres and Mets were playoff teams at this time last year. And not only did they not make the playoffs, they both finished sub 500, which makes you say, hey, but we gave you a summer, right?
Huh? Yeah. As a baseball fan, what would you rather want? Would you rather go through a season like the D-backs did last year, winning 50 games, or would you rather be like, you know, the 2013 Red Sox or wherever, where they win all those games and then have that awful collapse in September where it's
actually the 2013 Red Sox won the World Series.
Yeah.
The 2011 Red Sox won a ton of games and then collapsed at the end. That's actually a great philosophical question because there was, I remember I did have a lot of fun in that 2021 season, the 2011 season. There were a lot of fun games and there were some big wins. You know, that September was a nightmare. There, you know what? There can be a lot of fun when your team stinks. Because there have been some stinky Red Sox teams in the last decade. They finished last place a few times. And okay, 2012 was a drag. 2012 was awful. But there have been years where they've been bad. But like when I was younger, there was the year after they went to the World Series, 87, they were not competitive, but they brought up a lot of young players like Ellis Burks and Mike Greenwell, Todd Benzinger, a lot of players who went on, Jody Reed, who went on to be like, oh, but we could be good next year. And in those few years between 2013 and when they got good again at the end of the decade, there was a few years like, okay, they stink, but Betts, this kid Betts is pretty good, and this kid Benintendi doesn't look bad, or this – you know, Bogarts is developing. So, yeah, there were points where it was lean, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes the pressure off the season. And sometimes it's fun to just see, like, oh, maybe we'll be good next year. You know, obviously you would rather see you make it to the postseason, but, well, you know, you also get to see who the real fans are. That, to me, is a big thing. You get to look around, like, oh, you're still here. Oh, you're a real fan. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at a few D-backs fans right now, actually, because when those road teams come into town, that's a lot of Dodgers fans, Padres fans, Cubs fans entering those stadiums at Chase Field. So D-backs fans, when the D-backs get good, I expect you guys to be there right now and just not when the D-backs are good, because we need more fans to show up to these games.
When I first moved to New York City, it was the early 90s, and both the Mets and the Yankees were terrible. And so if I went to Yankee Stadium or I went to Shea Stadium, those are the fans who, when things got better, especially for the Yankees, they were the ones I actually felt good for. Like, if you were showing up during the Kevin Moss, Matt Noakes years for the Yankees, you deserve Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera, you know. Enough talking about good and bad. It's All-Star time. And yeah. One of the things I want to do is you and I take a look at who the starters are in this segment. In segment two, why don't you and I go over who we would have picked as starters? And then for segment three, let's take a quick peek at some of the other, who represented some of the other teams and some of the reserves and everything like that, and how we would make the All-Star game better. So first of all, let's take a look at who got elected to the All-Star game. Who are our American League All-Stars and who are our National League All-Stars?
Yeah, do you want me to rattle them off for you, buddy?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, looking at the starting lineup in the American League, we got catcher Alejandro Kirk from the Blue Jays, Vlad Guerrero Jr. from the Blue Jays at first, Jose Altuve at second base for the Astros, Rafael Devers third base from the Sox, Tim Anderson shortstop from the White Sox, Shohei at DH for the Angels, Aaron Judge from the Yankees outfield, Mike Trout outfield, Angels, and Giancarlo Stanton outfield for the Yankees, and that is your starting lineup for the American League. Do you want me to go through the NL first, or should we just parse through this American League lineup first? Oh, where did your audio go, sir?
I'm right here. You are. It's funny. Like, I'm looking through my first, okay, I already see there's some big differences between the starting lineup and my lineup, even though my lineup, a lot of the same people there. Okay, let's take a look at the catcher. You have I'm a big Star Trek fan, so I'm always happy to see Kirk hanging out there. And that's probably unexpected.
There. Yeah, what? No disagreement there with Kirk. I have him down as my catcher on my ballot.
Okay, I don't have a problem with any of these, even the ones that don't line up with me. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the fans. Some of these are the fans' votes, where in the past there have been some really egregious, you know, mistakes made. But, you know, fans want to see, you know, Vladdy Jr. Fans want to see Tim Anderson. So even though those were not my picks to be the first baseman or the shortstop on my lineup, I get it. I mean, there's some star power going on there. People want to see an outfield of Stanton, Judge, and Trout. You know, that's part of the fun of it. I mean, you could, you know, sort of bust out the abacus and show me, well, this person's actually this and this person's actually that. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, these are some of the stars that people want to see. And none of those players are having bad years. So, you know, again, it doesn't completely line up perfectly with my starting lineup, but there's not a single name on here, including Ohtani as the DH, that I would have an issue with.
Yeah, I have like three differences from the starting lineup to my own ballot. Two are kind of nitpicky. I have one issue that I do feel strongly about in the starting lineup. So we'll get into that in just a second. But overall, I think this is like, when I looked at these ballots, like, it was all pretty close. And I think overall the starting lineups were probably more easy in the National League than the American League. But when I look at this American League lineup, I think when I talk about those three differences, I think the first one I want to start off with from my ballot to the actual ballot, I think it is going to be first base, because there's a guy that got snubbed from this All-Star game at first base. He's not even going to be in the game, Sully. Maybe as a reserve, he'll get in for one of these injuries. But Ty France, I got as my All-Star starter over Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now, you might think that's a little controversial, and it's really close. If you think Vlad Guerrero Jr. deserves to be the All-Star first baseman starter, I won't disagree with you. This is one of those nitpicky issues I have with the lineup. But when you look at WRC+, when you look at some of the stats for Ty France, like, his slash line is better than Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s. He's like first or second American League in WRC+, and I just think he's had a slightly better season than Vlad Guerrero Jr. And I think I'm also knocking Guerrero Jr. a little bit, just because it's not as dominant as it was last year when he had this MVP season. I see right. not high from the ceiling that Guerrero's had before. And because he's taken a little bit of a step back this year, I'm going to credit Ty France, who I think has had a slightly better season than Guerrero.
France has been fantastic. And I'm all over. I have an issue at first base as well. But let's just, before to wrap up this particular segment, let's take a look at the starting lineup for the National League. We have Wilson Contreras is the catcher. Paul Goldschmidt, from the Cardinals at first. Jazz Chisholm, a starting Marlin and the infield. Manny Machado. You know, how can any of these all-stars compete when there are all these big market teams like Miami and San Diego dominating? Trey Turner at shortstop. Bryce Harper, I guess he's going to have a big cast on his hand there at the designated hitter spot. An outfield of Jock Peterson. That's interesting. Who would have picked that at the beginning of the year? Ronald Acuna Jr. And, of course, Mookie Betts. Harper's injury, I don't have Harper on my list because, you know, he's not going to be able to play. I think Ty France is hurt at this point. I don't have a problem with any one of those. I think they all are deserving all-stars, quite frankly. It doesn't totally line up with my particular lineup. Including some players who I think are legitimate MVP candidates. But you know what? I mean, look at people trash the fan vote all the time. But I think the fan vote was pretty good this year. This is a pretty accurate fan vote.
Yeah, I don't mind the fan vote. Looking at the NL starting lineup, I don't think I hate it. I think I have more problem maybe with the pitchers that were chosen than the actual starting lineup in the National League, because I actually think the National League lineup wasn't too tough to decide. I think some of those selections, when you look at the National League stats, like some of those players just jumped out at you, and you have to feel like automatically they were all-stars. My biggest issue is probably Bryce Harper, just because he's not going to be playing, so I don't think he should probably be voted.
Well, I mean, take a look. I mean, these are basically at this point, it's like everyone has, you know, the stars, and you're trading. At this point, you're basically trading baseball cards at this point with some of these names. And hey, Millard, speaking about trading baseball cards, I think there's something you need to tell us about baseball card trading going on. And I know I may not get these ads totally in order, but I figured I'm never going to have a transition that easy. So, fire away, Millard. What do people want to hear about?
Yeah, because I need to tell you, Sully, about this wonderful new thing I discovered. It's called the Sports Card Investor app, because growing up, I love collecting sports cards. My grandfather passed down a whole bunch to me. And growing up, it was just something I really had a passion for. And now watching this young D-backs team, they have so many young players, from the Corbin Carrolls coming up soon, the Jordan Lawlers. And we already got Alec Thomas's and the Josh Rojas's as well. Like, there's so many young D-backs players. Like, I want to own a part of the D-backs franchise, a part of the D-backs future. And the best place to do that is the Sports Card Investor app, because welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. Completely free, easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. Check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. Find the best prices and buy directly through the app with our eBay deals feature. Download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon.
I couldn't have said it better myself. All right, we're continuing to do our all-star recap here with Millard Thomas. Let's just read down each of our starting lineups here, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it. This is my – if I had a ballot, I did vote, all right? You know, I do believe, don't – if you want to complain, you got to be able to vote.
Yeah, and I'll pull it up side to side with how you have it different to
– okay, let's see. My starting catcher is Alejandro Kirk.
Okay, the same.
My starting first baseman was Luis Arraez from Minnesota, who's having a really, really good year. Francis as well, and I toyed with the idea of Jose Abreu, but Arraez is really good.
He's been a beast.
Second base, I have Altuve.
Okay. I think that one was easy. I think Altuve is like automatic. I said.
Yeah, and you know, he's Altuve in Los Angeles. If there's ever anyone going to be the sinister, you know, twirling the mustache, you just have to have that for the theater.
And we need him to win MVP, do we not? He has to win All-Star MVP.
He has to make some great plays. As shortstop, I have Xander Bogaerts. Who's the start? Who's the starting one?
Tim Anderson is the starter.
I have no problem with Tim Anderson. I just think Bogaerts is having a phenomenal season.
Phenomenal. Pam.
Now, third base is interesting because I had to really coin flip this.
With Jose?
And I have Jose Ramirez.
Oh, it's
so and boy, and trust me, the only reason I have Ramirez over Devers is I knew that if I have Bogaerts and Devers, everyone's gonna say, oh, he's a native New Englander and everything. Ramirez is having a phenomenal season for Cleveland. And they would be dead in the water if not for the season that he's having. So I had to pick him. Yordan Alvarez should be the starting left fielder. Yordan Alvarez, he's not the MVP, but he's a top five MVP candidate this year, I think. He's really having a phenomenal season for the Houston Astros. Trout, you can't have this all-star game without Trout. Even with Trout's recent slump, his OPS is still over 9, even with his recent strikeout streak. And, you got to want to have him in there. Obviously, Aaron Judge is your right fielder. And obviously, you're going to have Ohtani be the starting pitcher and the DH. Mm-hmm. It's just a no-brainer. Just because he's not going to pitch long. So you want to have the theater of him being the starting pitcher and the DH there. So Devers is clearly on my – and everyone else there, whether it was Giancarlo Stanton or Tim Anderson or Rafael Devers or Vladdy Jr. They would all be reserves on my roster as well. But I just think Luis Arraez is one of those players who is always in the middle. I mean, he's having a good season, but he's also, whenever you see the Twins win, he's always in the middle of the rallies or this, that, the other thing. And I think he deserves a lot of love. And Jose Ramirez I think Judge is the MVP this year. I think that's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And some combination of Ohtani and Devers and Trout would be up there too. But Ramirez is up there as well. He's having a phenomenal year. What were your AL? Which AL ones did you not mention? I think you mentioned Ty France and yours as well. I think is hurt. Is he still hurt? I know he's hurt for a little bit.
I'm not too sure. I think he might be healthy. I think Yordan Alvarez, he's going to expect to miss the game. He's going on the injured list. So we'll probably have the all-star replacement for Alvarez, unfortunately. Okay. But overall, for my lineup, I had Kirk the same. I had France at first base, like I mentioned. Altuve was easy. I kept Devers at third base just because I think from start to finish this season, you could say Jose Ramirez has been better than Devers. But statistically, Devers' numbers have passed Jose Ramirez's because he's been so much better from the second month on. Like, he's basically caught up and surpassed Jose Ramirez. So I have him on my all-star ballot. And then I have Xander Bogaerts like you at shortstop because I just think Tim Anderson, he hasn't played enough games. He's only played like 50-something games this year. I think it's actually pretty easily Bogaerts is who should be the all-star starting shortstop. Yeah. Like, that's my biggest quibble I think I have with the lineup. Like, I think Bogaerts' numbers are so much better than everyone else's in the American League when it comes to shortstop. So I think that one's the only one where I could say, yeah, I think the voters got that one wrong. And then I kind of did the same thing. I put Yordan Alvarez in the outfield because I want Ohtani and Alvarez both in my starting lineup. Because when you look at WRC+, Alvarez leads the American League, I think, in WRC+. According to that stat, which people hail as the best baseball stat now over WAR, he should maybe be the MVP of the American League. Like, Alvarez has had that good of a season.
Phenomenal. He's been absolutely phenomenal. I have him in left field in mind because I wanted to squeeze him in. I know that's being a little bit playing games there, but
no, I agree.
And believe me, you don't have to pitch the praises of Rafael Devers to me. I was toyed with the idea of putting him as my DH, but I said, that's got to be Ohtani, man.
Yeah.
So, go through your National League one. Cause I have, again, I don't really have an issue with any of the National League ones, but I have many differences with my lineup. So let's go with yours first.
Okay, let's see. It was pretty close to, honestly, how they had it, the normal starting lineup. I had Wilson Contreras, at Goldie. I did do Jazz Chisholm as well. He didn't play as many games as maybe some of the other second basemen, but I still think he's had the best season. Manny Machado at third, Trey Turner at shortstop, Betts in the outfield, Peterson in the outfield. My biggest differences was maybe I had Juan Soto in the outfield as well. And then I also had, because they had Ronald Acuna in the National League, he got voted in. Then at DH, like, I just couldn't go with Bryce Harper because spiritually it's like we know he's not going to be in the All-Star game. We've known that for a couple weeks now. So I went with Kyle Schwarber, who's just been on a freaking tear the last month when it comes to power and home runs. And he's just like the prototype DH. So I had him as my DH over Bryce Harper. Those were probably my two biggest ones, just the outfield and the DH I switched up.
Okay, this could be interesting breaking this down with you here. Okay. I have Contreras at catcher.
Okay.
I have Goldschmidt at first. I have Tommy Edman of St. Louis as my second baseman. He's having a great year. And no offense to Chaz Chisholm, but you know, I think Edman is just having a really good overall year. He was my pick there. I have Dansby Swanson at shortstop. I'm just a big fan of Dansby this year. I think he's having a terrific season. Arenado, I have a third. You and I are lock, stock, and barrel. If my left fielder is Kyle Schwarber.
Okay.
My center fielder is Juan Soto. And my right fielder is Mookie Betts. My DH is Freddie Freeman.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to have another Dodger in that starting lineup. And you know, it really was between Trey Turner and Swanson. I just think Swanson's having a terrific year. And I thought he was worthwhile having there. And Sandy Alcantara is my starting pitcher. By the way, full disclosure, up until today, I've been calling him Sandy Alcantara. It's Sandy Alcantara.
What?
I know. According to the Mets announcers I was listening to on Sunday, so who he had yet another phenomenal game against the Mets. So he's the Cy Young Award winner at this point. And to me, that's a no-brainer to have him be the starting. You know, there are some wonderful pitchers this year, but he's pitching like an old-school ace.
No, he's pitching runaway. Like,
yeah.
He's the runaway Cy Young favorite.
So, yeah, so our starting pitchers are Shohei Ohtani and Sandy Alcantara. And, you know, my lineup is Freeman, Betts, Soto, Schwarber, Arenado, Swanson, Tommy Edman, Goldschmidt, and Wilson Contreras.
You have Ohtani starting your American League starting lineup. I got Shane McClanahan of the Rays as mine. And then, of course, Sandy Alcantara now. Like, that's what
Alcantara. They said during the Mets broadcast. I understand why you have McClanahan from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I just like the theater of Shohei Ohtani starting. Yep. To me, that's healthy. That's a healthy way to do it and to make some green. These are athletic people who do some green. I think there's a member of the Athletics who's going to be wearing green at the All-Star game. God, what is this getting me to think of? Does this remind you of anything? Athletics and green?
I think it does, Sully, because I actually use this product every day to make me look like a baseball player, to become an athlete like a baseball player. And maybe one day I'll make it to the podcast All-Star game because I use this thing called Athletic Greens to start my day and give me a boost to my morning every single day because – let me tell you a little bit about Athletic Greens, because what is the stuff that I'm talking about? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all those things. And the reason why I love Athletic Greens is because it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it does not matter. Costs you less than $3 a day, and they have over 7,000 five-star reviews, so you know they're reputable. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
could not have said. It's just the tones. The tones of Miller Thomas. You know what? Are there any snubs at this point? I mean, the thing about, you know, there used to be like, I can't believe this person couldn't make it or this person. But there's, they always add so many injury replacements that by the time they get to the final roster, we're really just sort of splitting hairs by the end. There's not going to be any, I don't think, any truly egregious omissions from this list.
I don't know. Ty France, I think, is a pretty big one. And then also Carlos Rondon of the Giants not making it. I mean, he's like one of the best pitchers in the National League in ERA. He's like second in strikeouts. He's like number one in WAR and FIP in the National League among all starting pitchers. So like he's been a workhorse for the Giants team that this year. He's been huge in replacing Kevin Gausman in that rotation. He's been better than Kevin Gausman this season. So I think Rondon is probably a huge one. Zach Wheel is pretty big as well. Ty France is probably a big one. Those are probably my big three when I'm looking at some snubs. But even your guy Tommy Edman, who you had as a starter, he didn't make the All-Star game, so maybe you think he's a big snub.
Yeah, I mean, I just, maybe it's just I feel that there's going to be, you know, I didn't make a big deal of Tommy Edman not on the roster, and you could make the argument that I may be promoting him because I think he's having an under the radar very good year with St. Louis. But you know, I just feel that there's going to be eventually there'll be an opening. Maybe I'm being optimistic, but of course,
how about he didn't make it. Dylan Cease, he's fourth in ERA in the American League.
Yeah, that's a big one. He's been outstanding. And you know, you mentioned Carlos Rodon, who was a White Sox last year. Rodon had a phenomenal game just a couple of days ago, complete game victory against San Diego over the weekend.
Oh yeah,
where he struck out like 12 batters or something. Remember complete games? Pitchers used to do that. Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just – I guess that the snubs is really something you're going to have to ask the day before the game because, you know, if they – you know, if they wind up putting them on the roster over the next week, you know, if you look them up on baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth, if you made the All-Star team as a starter voted in by the fans or at the last minute as an injury replacement, it doesn't say All-Star but a last-minute injury replacement. It just says All-Star. You know, so we also have a reunion of the 2006 World Series going on with Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera being put in. They should always do that. There was always that used to be kind of a tradition in the All-Star game where if you knew a star was retiring, you know, they're in. Give a chance, especially someone who was, you know, Cabrera, obviously multiple MVPs going to the Hall of Fame. Pujols, multiple MVPs going to the Hall of Fame. And they're both with the teams, you know, that faced off, you know, Cabrera wasn't on that 06 team. He was still with Miami at that point. But when you think of Cabrera, you think of the Tigers.
Yeah.
When you think of Pujols, you think of the Cardinals.
Yeah,
you know, unless you're an accountant at the Angels office, you know, they're playing with the teams that they're probably, you know, there's no doubt Pujols is going to have a St. Louis cap on his plaque and that Cabrera is going to have the old English D on his plaque. So yeah, they're there. It's not like, you know, like last year Pujols was playing for Los Angeles, you know, playing for the Dodgers, or like if, you know, Cabrera was found himself as you know, playing for the Rangers or some team like that. Like, no, they're going to be there. They're going to be representing the, you know, their teams as kind of in an honorary way. But like, I remember in 83, both two Hall of Famers, Carl Yastrzemski and Johnny Bench, were both retiring that year. And so they're both on the All-Star team and they got a huge standing ovation. Mike Schmidt happened the same year when he was elected as a starter, but retired before the All-Star game because he said, like, I'm done. My injuries were catching up to him. And so he still came to the All-Star game in full uniform and came out. And that's how we got to say goodbye to them. And it should be a big thing, especially when we know we're about to lose a big star. You know, you should be able to say, use that time to wave goodbye.
Yeah, I think we have to set a baseline and a standard, though, for who that big star is that deserves the honor. Because it can't be the Omar Vizquel's year 24 going on their retirement tour making the All-Star.
Well, there's a whole other reason for not Omar Vizquel as well. But
so know, I think we need a standard. But real quick, Sully, we got some big breaking news in Major League Baseball right now. We got a trade. Robinson Cano has just been traded to the Atlanta Braves. How does that feel? First reaction.
Let's see. So what did they get for him? Did they get like
just cash consideration?
Cash. Man. There you go. Three so they cash. Just lifted up a few cushions. They found some cash. They sent it to San Diego. Does it come with a time machine?
Unfortunately not. Mets are paying most of the salary, I think.
Yeah. Well, I know that they DFA'd him and they took a flyer. So, you know, it's a red flag when you're a high profile, high price player and you're going to play for your third team in a year.
Yeah.
You know, look at, I don't dislike Robbie Cano. What do you know?
Is he going to be this year like Eddie Rosario or Jorge Soler for the Braves?
No.
No.
No, I don't see that happening. I think he's done.
Yeah, he's wild.
I think he's cooked.
He's cooked.
I think we're now at the kind of like when at the end of, you know, like Robbie Alomar, another problematic player. But like there's a couple like big stars in the past who at the end of their, or like Bobby Bonilla, you know, by the end of his career, it's like Braves, Mets, Cardinals. Like it just, he just was bouncing around, just picking up a paycheck. You know, Ricky Henderson was that at the end of his career. If you see the, you know, by the end of his career, he played for the Dodgers one year. He played for the Red Sox one year. You know, he just was bouncing around. And you know, Robbie Cano, I mean, look at, he's going to play until no one wants him.
Yeah.
And I kind of admire that. But I guess what you're saying is they shouldn't have a tribute to Robinson Cano at this year's All-Star game.
No, he shouldn't be an honorary All-Star, especially after the PED stuff. It's hard to make the Hall of Fame after that. He had a locked-up Hall of Fame career before all those scandals and stuff. It's actually kind of
gee whiz, I wonder if Albert Pujols did anything. Hmm. I just said a statement. No one can sue me for anything. If you have any issues about anything I said, please send your complaints to CreatorThomas24 on Twitter. Yeah. All right, well, hey, look it, man. You know, I think the fans got it right. And I still maintain my point that the season should start with the All-Star game. Because even when I was coming up with, oh, I like Ramirez's year, Bogart's year, I'm still only basing it on the first 2.5 months of the season. You know, someone could be the MVP of the season and not even be considered right now. Or the perfect example was in 2015, Jake Arrieta pitched out of his mind. Won the Cy Young Award, but was not on the All-Star team because he had a good first half and he had an out-of-this-world second half. But it really penalizes people who have great second halves that don't get noticed. That's why Tim Salmon, Kirk Gibson, and I have the same number of All-Star game appearances. Mm-hmm. So I maintain that that's the case, but for the flawed way that we do it, I think the fan vote got it pretty right. You got to give them credit.
They got it pretty close. But how do you feel overall just about the idea of having one representative from every team? Do you just feel like it should be the best players in there, or do you think that's a fair philosophy?
For the way the All-Star game is now, it should just be the best players. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like the Diamondbacks have. Who's their Diamondbacks representative?
Mantiply, baby, and he deserved it.
Okay, there you go. Mantiply.
Let me say this about Mantiply. Longest streak in MLB history for a left-handed pitcher not allowing a walk in consecutive starts.
There you go. Well, you know what?
That MLB record, guys. MLB record.
I'm going to be bouncing my grandchild on my knee telling me all about that record. Yeah. But I think the representative for each team works in if you do the All-Star game the way I want to, which starting the season. Because every team's going to have at least one player they're pushing their chips to the center of the table thinking that they're going to be good. I just think as it is now, if you have a player who is just there because, you know, I call it the Robert Fick All-Star syndrome. Robert Fick was the Tigers All-Star in one of the years where the Tigers were just dreadful. And no offense to Robert Fick, but, you know, really? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that the every team representative would work perfectly if we're starting the season with the All-Star game. But as the Midsummer Classic, I think give us the best players.
Give us the best players. I think that's my overall philosophy. I want the best players in the game. I'm not here for participation trophies or getting every representative in there. I think it should just be the best players overall.
But I do think that there should be a representative from the home team, from the whichever the host team. If you're hosting it, you should have at least one player that the fans say, there's our guy.
You should have good players on your team then.
Yeah, that's true. And that's not really an issue this year, as the All-Star game is being played right down the street from where I live. I'm in the luxurious Lockdown MLB studios in Pasadena overlooking the historic Rose Bowl. And just a quick trip down the 110 from Dodger Stadium. And, yes, I did look into seeing whether or not I could get an All-Star game ticket. And I thought, like, ooh, yeah. We're selling Built Bars, but not that many Built Bars.
Sully, you're locked on MLB, a ticket. You need to get a credential, my guy. You got to be in the press booth.
Maybe. Okay, I'll see. Yeah. All right. If you see me there, I'm going to have a hat that says press on.
Yeah. Let's get a hashtag going. Get Sully to the All-Star game.
Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, do hashtag Sully 2, the number 2, All-Star game. Sully 2 All-Star game. Let's get this going. And speaking of hashtags, by the way, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Have your second listen be Locked On Diamondbacks, clearly. And in upcoming episodes, we're going to be talking about the surging Orioles and the disappointing Blue Jays are going to be the topics of some of our upcoming podcasts. But hey, second listen, make that Locked On Diamondbacks. Your third listen, have it be Locked On MLB Prospects, where host Lindsey Crosby, he's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Miller Thomas, where can people listen to your show?
At CreatorThomas24 for my personal account. Look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle. Podcast is on all podcasting platforms, like all other Locked On podcasts, and check us out on YouTube at Locked On Diamondbacks.
And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Breaking down the All-Star team with my personal All-Star, Miller Thomas. This is the Locked On MLB, Locked On Diamondbacks crossover for the 11th day. It's 7-Eleven. Get a Slurpee. They're not a sponsor, so I better do a fist bump. That's the end of our show.